This is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and you're listening to Worldwide on VOCNation.com, baby.
VOC Nation Radio Network, Wrestling with History. The voice of choice, Bruce Ford, Killer Ken Resnick, and the legend maker, Wonderful Willie, Bill Apter, back again for another week of Wrestling with History. And we're exclusive to VOC Nation Radio Network, but you can also find us wherever you find your favorite podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you like to listen. We're also available on YouTube, and over 6,000 people have chose to watch instead of listen the last couple weeks. And we want to continue to have you do that. So search for VOC Nation Radio Network on YouTube. Subscribe. You get every show that we do. And In the Room, which airs on Tuesday nights, that also is available for video. We'll continue to enhance that content. But guys, a loaded show this week. And I think off the top of the show, I think the biggest news of the week, and we're recording this on a Tuesday night, January 26, 2021. We're just a couple of days removed from major announcement by the WWE. Their award-winning WWE Network, which I saw advertised as they did their super show in India, in Florida today. The award-winning WWE Network is going by the wayside. It's going to be phased into the NBC Universal Peacock Network. And I think everybody knows the news, but I'm
Wait, that's not totally true. First of all, welcome everybody, and great to be here with Killer Ken and the voice of choice, Bruce. It's not totally true.
Okay, tell me what's true then, Bill, because you have
true is that this is domestic only. I found out that the people outside of the United States will still be accessing through the WWE Network.
For now.
So, yeah, well, for now, because, Peacock is not...
Worldwide!
Yeah, exactly. So that may change in the future, but I did get a lot of questions, and I reached out to some of my high-level contacts in the WWE, and they had told me at this point it is domestic only. And I get Peacock for free on Comcast Network, and I was going through Peacock, and this is before this whole thing is implemented, and they have a lot of content on there already. They have the Monday Night War on there.
What I think is really interesting, and it's pretty indicative of any time something like this happens, it's because, the profit structure, if it was great, you don't turn it over to somebody else. And Bill, as you mentioned, I'm the same way. I've got Comcast, which is the largest cable provider in the country. And if you read through it, I get Peacock free, and then said, if you have Peacock, you can add the WWE Network, but for only $4 a month.
With commercials.
And,
With
commercials, but that revenue, obviously, none of us are privy to the exact details, but that $4 is going to be split between, NBC, Universal, Comcast, Peacock.
Well, I thought it was if you have Peacock already on your cable system, that the WWE Network you won't be charged any more for that. But if you get it through Roku or something,
you'll get the library, but live programming, like any of the pay-per-views, you have to pay $4 a month for. But it's interesting that, WWE, of that $9.95 right now, they get all $9.95. And now, the majority of the country is going to be able to get the network for only $4, which that revenue, what the split is, if it's 70-30, 60-40, 50-50.
It is $4.99, they said.
Is going to be split. On Peacock, I think it's $4 if you already have Peacock,
okay,
which the majority of Comcast cable users have, as you do and I do, for nothing.
Yeah, which is great.
So the official release from WWE says WWE Network will be available on Peacock for $4.99 a month or $9.99 without ads. That price includes access to pay-per-view events such as Fastlane, SummerSlam, and the granddaddy of all wrestling showdowns, WrestleMania. Shame on them for saying WrestleMania on CNN, this is. WWE fans will also get access to original series. This agreement won't impact the shows Raw on the USA networks or SmackDown on Fox, which has separate deals and will continue to air as usual. So I think the question is, and by the way, this deal is a five-year contract valued at over $1 billion. So this is a major deal for the WWE. And the amazing thing is, and here's some of what I want to get into. The WWE in the last, 3 years has done two multi-billion dollar deals. Well, one with Fox and one with the USA Network. And,
which is part of NBC.
Right. I'm sorry. One with NBC Universal for this deal.
Yeah.
That has changed the dynamic for all time of how we will watch the wrestling product, because I don't think live events are at all what they consider their bread and butter anymore, and it's probably been that way for a long period of time, but this cements the transition to the digital way of doing things, right?
Yeah, it does, and I think the future of this, and this is nothing that I know, I think the future of this, because of the long relationship WWE has had with NBC, 30 years going back to the Dick Ebersole days, I have a feeling they are either going to wind up with a minority or majority stake in the WWE, and we're going to see the McMahon family, or at least Stephanie and Triple H, working that company for NBC eventually, that NBC will wind up with that product, and Stephanie and Triple H will be the people that will run that for NBC.
You know, one of the other things that'll be interesting, Bill, as you point out, you know, Raw is on USA, which is an NBC Universal Comcast property. Peacock is now going to be basically the domestic home of the WWE Network, which is also an NBC Comcast Universal. You've got to wonder at some point NBC is going to say, you know, we don't really like the idea of this product being on Fox as well. I've got to wonder what this is going to mean for the long term of SmackDown itself, or certainly SmackDown staying on Fox.
I think it's going to jettison when that contract's up. I think NBC is going to find some way with the McMahons to bring everything in house, and WWE will be an NBC branded product.
Yep. And here's my question to the two of you. First, to Ken, you think back to WCW and when Turner sold out to AOL Time Warner, and it truly changed the dynamic of WCW. Now, consider this: WWE is a publicly traded company. They have standards and practices already. It's not run like a territory by any stretch. But could this be the end of professional wrestling if WWE goes and absorbs into NBC Universal, as we think it could be? Could that be it? I mean, is there a chance that NBC just says, well, not quite working out for us, and we'll pass, and that's it? Is that all a possibility, Ken?
What did you tell me just a minute ago the value of this deal was?
Maybe I answered my own question.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the expert.
If they put up $1 billion, the answer to that question is no, it's not going away. It you know, they may try and, you know, reduce some of the R-rated storylines, but if they had any idea of doing away with it, they wouldn't be investing, you know, this amount of money. You know,
I agree with him.
Yeah, you know, AOL had AOL, NBC is a television company, and if you think about the hours of new programming WWE produces each week, and I've said before, you know, we talk about the wrestling side, so does most everybody, but one of the other things WWE has become is a massive production company. You know, they produce wrestling right now. I can maybe see some of the wrestling reduced and NBC using their production capabilities for other TV programming. And let's face it, you know, they kind of did the Big Brother spinoff on the network. They've done some movies. But I think, at least my opinion, Bruce, it's almost the opposite, you know, with a additional $1 billion contribution and the long-standing relationship, I think it ensures the stability of pro wrestling at the very least as an entertainment venue for NBC. It may become more entertainment, but I think it'll always be there.
NBC sees the value of what wrestling's been since its infancy. It's wrestling was always a TV product. And Bruce, to say, you know, do they want to like kill it or do away with it? No, they're like Ken just said, they're investing so much money in this that I think it's going to flourish even more. I think that sometimes, like when they had the Saturday night's main event on nights that Saturday Night Live or other shows might not be on, they're going to pop in a pro wrestling sports entertainment spectacle.
Let me ask the other side of that question then, Bill. Does this mean, so I see this all the time on the internet, fans talking about the ratings and how terrible the ratings are and how terrible the product is. And listen, I'll be first to say I'm not a big fan of the current product. You know, if I'm going to pop in the WWE Network, I'm watching Saturday Night's Main Event from 1987, probably.
NBC.
But does this validate that the ratings that they're doing are very, very valuable to folks like NBC and Fox? And it's not what the casual fan thinks because they're comparing it to the glory years of 1999.
The fan that watches the product and goes on the internet to mainly knock what it is not what NBC, Universal, Peacock is looking at. They're looking at putting on an entertainment, sports entertainment, pro wrestling show for, they're going to get more viewers. This is going to be exposed more than it ever was in terms of saturation of fans. So no, they're looking at this as they're excited about this thing and they're going to advertise it. They're going to push it. And you're going to see WWE superstars even on more and more programs on the whole NBC family.
You know, and Bruce, there's one other thing, and Bill, to consider as they look for additional programming, run into time slots they need to fill, with WWE, you know, already having the Performance Center, which basically, you know, has been transformed into a soundstage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the major stars are, you know, under guaranteed contracts that if you think about it, if they decide they want to end, you know, bring back, say, a Saturday night main event or put a live event on some night, in reality, that is going to be far cheaper for NBC to have a two-hour live event from the Performance Center. Everything is already in place. You're just using wrestlers that are already under contract than coming up with some other live or primetime programming. The cost of adding another wrestling show would be just a fraction of any other primetime that would draw you 1 million, 2 million people.
But here's something no one has addressed, okay? I'm a WWE wrestler. I'm a main event guy, right? My contract's coming up now, right? And the McMahons offer me a new contract. And now I'm saying, like, you know what? They just made this zillion-trillion-dollar deal with NBC. Am I going to hold out and say I need more money now because look at what you just made from this company? Or do I entertain an offer from AEW?
I think the problem there is other than AEW, which I think one of the AEW problems is they don't have a real large depth on their roster, but they can only take so many big names, and it's only the big names that would have that kind of bargaining power. And I think you're exactly right. And at some point it's kind of going to become what happened when Vince kind of first took over the country. You may be faced with, taking this, large contract that may not be what you think you're worth, or try and make that on the independent circuit.
Yeah. Exactly. And some of them, right. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Independent circuit. No, there is some of it left.
Listen, just kind of going back to what I said in the very beginning and maybe articulating this a little bit better. Ken, you almost validated what I said, because I think this is the death of the live event. And that scares me. Part of what I love and have always loved about pro wrestling is the reaction of the fans. That to me is just as valuable as what's going on in the ring or on TV. Listening to the pop and seeing how people react, that is 50% of the product. So NBC saying, well, it's much cheaper to do this on a soundstage in front of 35 people, in a closed off area. That's scary as a wrestling fan. And is that what we're seeing? Is that what could evolve or devolve into?
Well, I think, part of it, once the pandemic gets under control, which may well be the, not until almost 2022, when people feel totally safe of, going into, in closed crowds. But if you think about it, Bruce, even before the pandemic, the house shows, they were, for the most part, losing money. They were keeping the talent busy and on the road.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a long time. And with the right sound stage or even smaller arenas, you can make, 2,000 people look like 12,000. And I think other...
And you have NWA power at that point.
Yeah, but I think other than the pay-per-views that, the WrestleMania, King of the Ring, SummerSlam, which they can, know they're going to draw, really good crowds for, I think, the house shows in a lot of cities... it used to be they would, generally do a house show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then go to Monday Night Raw, then go somewhere else and tape, Tuesday Night SmackDown. I think those days, Bruce, are probably coming to an end or are going to be greatly reduced.
Do you know how much money WWE has saved? They're making these huge contracts now, like with Peacock, the amount of money that they're saving, and it's put a lot of people out of work on the road crews that they were doing. I mean, that's astronomical. When I'd go to a show in Philadelphia, and it's a 13,000-14,000 capacity for wrestling, or 15,000-16,000, and there's 9,000 people there, and the merchandise is selling well, but the buses, the tour buses, the transportation to get people there, the road crew, the people that are putting up the ring, none of that's happening at this point. Right. Ken, like you were saying, they're on a soundstage now. And for NBC, hey, Vince, we need a show for 2 weeks from now, live from the Performance Center. Push the button and it's right there.
Well, about...
I mean, they don't need production trucks. And even for the house shows, I mean, they're saving money, which they were losing on anyways. I mean, they were thrilled if they could break even. There's no more airfare, no more hotels, no more, meals. All of this stuff is...
Oh, catering. You know what that costs. Seriously.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
No, I was in the AWA, you know, the hot dogs weren't that expensive.
Those were White Castle sliders.
Think about this, and we can move on. Think about the Super Show in India this afternoon, which was at the soundstage, you know, wherever they're at, Tropicana Field, the Thunderdome. They don't have to spend money on flights. They don't have to spend money on a hotel. They're not getting stuck on a tarmac. They're just taping it right there, and it's for India. But, you know, it's the same as any other show.
Yeah, it is. That's even like the Royal Rumble. So I know we have an agenda plan, but I want to throw something in here.
Throw it in.
For
YouTube, Bill, I want the motion of the throw. All right.
I want to throw something in here.
There we go. That's like a Tom Brady pass.
Follow that stuff. Okay.
All right.
I don't follow.
All right, throw it in.
I'm a wrestling and boxing guy. All right, but in the meantime, this Sunday is the Royal Rumble, and on Monday Night Raw, Edge made an announcement that he's coming back, and I think that's fantastic. But what I am seeing, because of that announcement, do you think that they're shaky, that there's not enough household names on the Royal Rumble to make this the Royal Rumble that everybody wants to see? What do you two
One
think?
Word, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There's just, you know, and we've talked about it, Bruce and I have many times before, you know, you joined with us, Bill. You know, back in the 80s in, you know, WWF, AWA, WCW, there were must-see talents.
Yep.
If Hulk was going to be on the show, people tuned in. If there was a Piper's Pit, people would tune in to see Roddy Piper or to see the Macho Man or to see George, you know, the Animal. They all had must-see larger-than-life talents. You know, everyone had multiple. And if I would say to you, tell me the one full-time WWE talent that you would categorize today as must-see. Who would you say?
Well,
politically, of course, I say everybody. You know, I always watch what I say. But no, that would probably, at this point, that's probably why they're bringing Goldberg back too, because he's, even though his performance hasn't been up to what it used to be, he's still a brand. He's still a brand name. So in my opinion, the way that this is going, I think that, and I'd like to hear your opinions too. I think with all the hoopla that they're doing about Daniel O'Brien, I think he's going to as the winner and go on to WrestleMania. So what do you two think? Who are your picks? Oh, Ken, great reaction.
Well, I mean, it's like kind of a, meh. You know, I mean, that's to, you know, what you pointed out earlier, that there's, you know, Goldberg has got the match with Drew McIntyre, so that, you know, he's not really, you know, I don't think a candidate to go on to WrestleMania. But again, you know, out of the Royal Rumble, it's kind of like, you know, whoever went, yeah, okay. Yeah, Edge, I mean, it's a great story, but I don't think anybody looks at him as a long-term on-top talent. I mean, he's great when he comes back. It's a huge Correct. Story. People are really interested, but, you know, I don't think, you know, Edge is someone they're going to would put the belt on to carry the franchise long term. And that, as you identified, is kind of the problem.
I totally agree.
Here's what I see. Unfortunately, I think you're going to see a situation again where Bill Goldberg is involved in the title picture heading into WrestleMania because there's name value there. And I think you hit on it. I forget which one of you said it, but they have a real problem with lack of mega stars, and maybe they're realizing that.
Yeah,
and maybe
he's not in the Rumble,
but maybe this TV deal.
He's not in the Rumble.
No, but he's fighting Drew McIntyre for the championship. Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So
I can't see them putting Goldberg over Drew McIntyre, and
they've done it before.
Goldberg to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree with Ken. I agree with Ken.
Listen,
I mean, you can't work.
Do you know what? I'll tell you something.
I hope not, but
wrestling fans bless Drew McIntyre for something that I read just a few minutes before we came on the air that he said. They were talking about him down the road with The Fiend, and he said the WWE title should not have any relationship to a character like that where it's a weird storyline, et cetera. It should just be about wrestling and with honor defending that WWE championship. That is the best comment I have heard from any of their talent in ages. But they may have Bray Wyatt. They may have Bray Wyatt win the Royal Rumble. That's my thought here.
Yeah, I agree completely with what Drew McIntyre said, but the question, you know, I'll pose to both of you, but specifically, you know, Bill, because you're more in tune, it's a great thought. I admire him for saying it, but do you think the Titan Tower is going to give that a thought? I mean, they even this week on Raw with all, you know, the quick change and the magic and this and that. I mean, it's like they
do.
Are all
do,
in on the entertainment aspect.
No, I do, and I'll tell you why. Because when he wrestled Keith Lee a few weeks ago, it was the best match I've on Raw. It was the best match I've seen in WWE in a long time. And I think that they're taking this one guy, Drew McIntyre, and letting him be a professional wrestler.
Well, and we'll see.
Just my thought.
We'll see what fans have to – I mean, WrestleMania will be in front of some number of fans. And I also think that's why they're jazzing up the marquee, because they want people to pay for those overpriced tickets. And especially in the secondary markets, there's a lot of money in that. But I could see Edge being prominently featured, maybe with Randy Orton again to close the loop on that storyline. Bill, the whole thing, and just to tie it back to what you said about Drew McIntyre and respect for the championship, the continuity with the storyline with Goldberg isn't there. I mean, if he's saying that, remember on TV, the whole premise with Bill Goldberg was that Drew McIntyre has no respect for legends. So how does that tie together? I mean, aren't they a little bit out of sorts?
I think that piece of this storyline is not going to be really played up. I think it's just him against another older championship wrestler. And I think at the end of the match, they're going to hug or something, whatever happens. I think it'll be a fairly decent contest. And, you know, Goldberg is not what Goldberg used to be. Now, just getting back to what I was saying, Bray Wyatt has not been announced for the Royal Rumble. So what I think they have to do something with Randy Orton, Alexa Bliss, and Bray Wyatt. And I have a feeling that's going to be somehow mixed up in some title picture going toward WrestleMania. I don't know what it is, but it's just a thought.
Well, the problem with, you know, I think you're right. I think there's kind of two major storylines. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble, and based on what I think they're going to do, you know, I don't think it's going to involve, you know, Randy Orton or Bray Wyatt. Because remember, the winner of the Royal Rumble will get a shot at, you know, either Goldberg or Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. And I think you're right that the Alexa Bliss, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, that's going to be like the other major mm-hmm. track mm-hmm. going into WrestleMania.
But the guy,
that's why I kind of think Edge might be a one-off in this instance, because it's got to be, they've got to tie in Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton.
Oh yeah. With Edge though, a great victory would be the last two guys in the ring, Edge and Daniel Bryan. And they put on an incredible 4 or 5 minutes and Daniel Bryan wins it. However, maybe the guy who wins the Royal Rumble, if it's Daniel Bryan, might not get to WrestleMania.
That's always a possibility. There's
right.
Another show in between.
Well, and one of the things I am seeing more and more and always try and factor in, the reality is WWE is not really targeting any of us as their audience. You know, they're good looking point. For that about 18 to 40-year-old. And I think, you know, that's what they've been targeting the last couple of years. I think that's one of the reasons NBC made the huge commitment in buy-in, because they're looking for that like 18 to 40-year-old audience that is going to be into the entertainment and the magic and really not care about the psychology. And they're the ones out there with the discretionary income that are going to be buying the products they see advertised. So that's what I'm starting to factor in. They're, you know, Bill, like you said, what a great match. Or they could have a great, you know, 5-10 minute, you know, match at the end of Royal Rumble. You and I and Bruce would probably love that. But the 18 to 40-year-olds would be going, boring.
Well, remember, the 18 to 40-year-olds love Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So if it winds up at WrestleMania, the main event, Drew McIntyre against Daniel Bryan in a wrestling match, I have to say that I think that would be something that demographic would like.
All right, we've got to take a break. I've got to leave Ooh. You two things. We've got to move on. I got to take a break, leave you with two things as we go into the break. The first is, if you're watching and you subscribe to YouTube, VOC Nation Radio Network, and we need another 600 subscribers to get into monetization territory, you got to see me in my pajamas as I walk back to get the wrestling
pants.
Right. So that's first. My wife said, don't get up from the chair. You're in your pajama pants. Don't forget. And I forgot. That's number one. Number two is, and we'll go to the break with this. You heard it from me first. I would not be surprised on the backside of this deal for over $1 billion if one of the final four in the 2021 Royal Rumble is CM Punk. Back on the other side, Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale, with interviews and other segments now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligons every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone, call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer, the Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star, Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality, Bruce Wirt. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Wrestling with History Worldwide and the VOC Nation Radio Network. Make sure you subscribe to VOC Nation either on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and my favorite too, iHeartRadio and radio.com. You can find us anywhere or on your smart device. Just say, hey, Google Play. Oh, my phone's going to light up. Hey, Google, play VOC Nation Radio Network. You'll get our latest podcast. And besides this show, you get a whole lot of shows here on the network. And our new tagline is VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in wrestling history with hosts like Wonderful Willie, the legend maker Bill Apter, Killer Ken Resnick, Shelly Martinez, who was Ariel in WWE, and Salinas in TNA. You have Wes Briscoe, part of the legendary Briscoe family. And the Stro Maestro, Sassy Steffi, also looking for some new talent. So if you're an independent star, a budding independent star, or if you're a legend that wants to get your name out there as conventions start to come back around, we're looking for a couple new hosts as we try to expand. So look for...
Oh, I was negotiating with Vince. He's going to get back to me.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you. I'd love Vince McMahon to do a podcast on VOC.
No, that's not the... Oh, yeah, right. That's the...
Wasn't he negotiating with ad-free shows?
Unquestionably.
Never mind.
Hey, we should take one quick sec. You know, we've acknowledged we taped this on Tuesday. It'll drop Wednesday. But yeah, we should wish happy birthday to the Stro.
Yes, happy birthday, Mike.
Yes, happy birthday. Fair birthday, Stro.
Bill, you want to lead us in a little tune?
I will do that, and then I have something else to talk about really quickly, very quickly.
Ken, you're going to lift your shirt?
We want to sing it or rap it?
Your choice.
Yo, hold on a minute. Hang on a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hang on a minute.
It is the Maestro's birthday, so wish him a happy birthday on Twitter or Facebook. He's got his hat.
Yo, like happy birthday, dear Stro. Happy birthday to yo. Happy birthday, dear Stro. Happy birthday to yo.
There we go.
That's it. So look, before, I know we have a lot of topics. I just want to plug one thing.
Yeah.
Last night at 11 o'clock at night on the WWE Network, I watched the Pat Patterson documentary, My Way. That was the best documentary I've seen done. It's 1 hour. If you have the WWE Network, please watch this. It's fabulous.
Awesome.
That's it.
And Ken is anti-WWE Network because he doesn't get any royalties.
Nope.
Well, but what Bill said harkens back to what we talked about before the break, that one of the other reasons I think NBC was willing to pay that is because WWE is a great and large production company.
Content maker.
Very well done.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Award winning.
I mean, if you stop and think about between, you know, Raw, NXT, SmackDown, all the other live programming and new programming, WWE is producing about, you know, 15 to 20 hours of television every week.
Yeah,
for sure. And you get all the classic stuff too. So make sure that you get your Peacock or your WWE Network, whatever it is these days.
Do you know why they call it the Peacock Network?
Yeah, NBC used to use the Peacock and still does as their logo.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not know that, Bruce?
Of course I knew that. Come on.
You went like, go.
I grew up with four channels.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Exactly. By the way, VOCNation.com, if you haven't gone there, check it out. We're going to be redesigning the site in the coming weeks, which is a major expense. So that's another reason to subscribe to the content and listen. Listen for more than 10% of the shows. That helps us to fund the network and bring you all of the great personalities that I mentioned. Also, VOCNationShirts.com, or on the left-hand side of the main website, you get your shirt, Killer Ken shirt. You got all of the shows that we do here. We get a small commission. And when I say small, I mean small commission from Pro Wrestling Tees, but it does help support the shows and support the talent here. So make sure that you do that. Guys, I want to get into some feedback from last week's show. We covered the first WrestleMania. We took people behind the scenes and we got some feedback from that show. And the first one is from Cena's bald spot. And Cena's bald spot, he or she says, back then, Vince was a genius. Today, not so much. It's a loaded statement and typical fan statement, but I think Vince just made a $1 billion deal. Wouldn't you consider him to still be a genius?
Well, he one thing about Vince, when it comes to anything wrestling, he is a genius businessman. I mean, the XFL, the supplements, the pro bodybuilding, not so much. But when it comes to wrestling, as we talked about last week, his bet on the first WrestleMania was all in. He had all the chips on the table. And anything wrestling and business-wise, Vince has won, and generally won big.
And keep in mind, he now has a huge staff. You can't count how many people. Back then, there was a few people doing it. It's a whole different thing.
Arnie Skolan, Pat Patterson, George Scott. That was basically the booking and talent staff.
Yeah.
You know, you could hold it in anybody's office. They didn't need a auditorium or a large conference room.
The Holland Hotel is where it was at. I was there.
Here's an interesting take from Phoenix Zero. Vince had ambition and foresight, along with being fortunate enough to pretty much inherit the most lucrative wrestling territory, enabling you to afford to raid most of the other territories of their most popular talent, going after the mainstream and catering more to families who had a blessing, and with the latter a curse, in my opinion. I won't go back to read that and try to understand it. Some of the smart things Vince did are certainly the things he doesn't do anymore, though, like allowing others to run aspects of the product that he knew wasn't particularly in such a strong as booking. Okay, so this guy is trying, or lady is trying to say that Vince in the past would let other people do things that he wasn't so strong at. But what they're saying right now is that Vince has been out of touch for decades at this point. Going back to the later part of the 80s. I'm not so sure. I mean, do we forget the Attitude Era? Do we forget all the money that they made in the beginning of the 21st century with John Cena and JBL? I mean, I think he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, the product has evolved, and, you know, he can't keep his finger on the entire business. He's got people that talk to him about what's going on. He's not always the final person that says this is going to happen or this is not going to happen during a wrestling show, et cetera. He has people that do that now. Back then, it was all him, but he has moved on as best as he can with the times.
Well, and I think another point, I wouldn't argue with much of the last comment, but the one thing, you know, old school fans of today, I think, kind of lose sight of, you know, in the 80s, 90s, early 2000, the World Wrestling Federation was a wrestling company.
Correct.
Today, the World Wrestling Entertainment is a entertainment television production company, and what they produce is wrestling, but their first focus is on the television entertainment aspect,
correct?
Not the wrestling aspect.
Yeah, I totally. I mean, you hit it right on the head, and I think that goes into everything that we said in the beginning of the show. It's all about entertainment. Wrestling is just the part of it's one part of that entertainment, and Vince has always been more interested in the entire show. That was the whole point of our WrestleMania show. That was
a variety show.
Vince McMahon saying, I'm giving you a show. Wrestling's at the center. It's on the marquee, for lack of a better way of saying it. But this is a show. I'm bringing you entertainment. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. And to go back a second, Bruce, the first comment you read, you know, saying he inherited, you know, the most profitable territory. Remember when Vince took the World Wrestling Federation over from his father, the sole focus was wrestling. Vince, even back in the 80s, began to realize that the revenues that can be gotten from the television aspect. So, you know, yeah, the Northeast was a great territory, but, you know, like him or not, Vince was the one that could foresee the advertising revenue and the secondary marketing revenue. He yeah. was the one that took it there.
Remember, they used to pay TV stations to air their product.
Sure.
And Vince Jr. at one point was like, well, why are we paying them when they're making money off commercial product on our shows?
That's how they got into the Twin Cities market, you know, Vern's Backyard. They bought the time.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have had that famous promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Well done.
Reed 50 says, and Ken, you'll appreciate the next few sets of feedback. The Vince McMahon of today has become the Vern Gagne of old, stuck in old habits and unaware or unwilling to adapt to modern pop culture. That goes against everything that we just talked about,
though. Yeah, I you know, I don't like to disagree with our viewers or listeners, but I think it's the exact opposite of what he or she just said.
Yeah, he's all about pop culture.
Mike is a winner, says AWA. I guess these are Ken Resnick fans. Ken, you have a fan club that you didn't even realize. AWA.
Wait a minute. What was that you just said, Bruce? I'm sorry. Audio problem. What was that?
Ken Resnick has a fan club that he didn't realize. Listen, for everybody that loves this show, even back before Bill Apter, Ken was very hesitant to put his name on the marquee of the show. He didn't think that anybody wanted to hear from Ken Resnick.
Oh,
and I was
so
telling
wrong.
Him, everybody loves Ken Resnick. People love nostalgia, first of all. And, I mean, Ken, you were a significant part of people's yes. wrestling fandom.
Sure was, and still is.
Mike is a winner, obviously loves Ken, and says, AWA could have been like AEW if old man Vern would have sold half to investors, not make his son a promoter. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, Vince, when he first was expanding, AWA, you know, had such great markets and talent. Vince approached Vern on a partnership deal.
Yes.
And Vern turned it down flat. So yeah, I'm not sure Mike is wrong in that.
Yeah, I concur.
One more. We'll just do one more. There's a lot of expletives and things that I don't want to read. So last one is Maurizio RC. It's sad and hilarious at the same time how Vince has basically turned into Vern Gagne himself, an old out-of-touch guy who's not willing to change with the times and still thinks of himself as the guy with the biggest member in the room. And it's a little different way of saying the same thing that the other person said.
Yeah, but if you really look at this, and again with the whole thing with NBC Peacock and all that the company, and it's not just Vince anymore.
Peacock has the biggest Vince. Member in the room.
But isn't that Brady Hicks in the room? But it's a whole different company now. It's not just Vince, and people that are surrounding him and with him are into pop culture. And unless there's something totally that he doesn't think is going to make a buzz or make the company make some money, he's going to listen to these people.
I think the truth is a lot of old school wrestling fans like to think that, and to a degree they're right. But to say somebody that just sold part of his company for $1 billion is out of touch,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Peacock is spreading his feathers and walking in the WWE network.
So keep the questions coming. Either, you know, you can leave them on your favorite wrestling site when they cover the show, and encourage your favorite wrestling sites to cover the show. You can tweet at VOC Nation, at Resnick. Apter VOC is the Twitter handle for the show. Remember, Bill Apter is at Apter One Wrestling. Someday I'm going to get him to change that to Apter VOC Nation, but we gotta get the funds a little bit higher so we can.
Well, I can make that another Twitter handle, but because of my love for what I did for so many years with One Wrestling, of course. No. And the other thing is people don't like change. You change your Twitter handle. They go 27 or 30,000 followers that I have. What happened to them? And they're like, they get lost.
He passed away years ago.
Yeah.
And Bruce at VOCNation.com. That's the other way to get questions. Your best bet is to tweet at VOC Nation. Follow us, tweet Correct. Us, and interact. We love the interaction. Keep it coming. Guys, just to close the loop on WrestleMania, significant event, big investment by McMahon and his team of investors. If it failed, we might not be talking and doing this show today, and we'd miss out on a lot. But the card itself, let's just run through that quickly. You had a lot of the big territory names that were convalescing. Is that the right word? In on New York for this event. You know, they had started to come
converging.
Not convalescing.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't sick.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That's why you guys are, you're my grammar check.
Hey, Bill, now we're beginning to know why he's in his pajamas.
Exactly. What time do they come to bring him back? Anyway.
Long day. So they're converging on New York starting in 83, 84. Vince builds to this. But the actual matches weren't necessarily it wouldn't be a Dave Meltzer five-star event. You know, I don't think so. The first match, famously, Tito Santana and Buddy Rose under the hood as the executioner. Would that would fans buy into that these days? Would
you can't really say that, because back in those days when you went to the Garden, and I was there every month for the shows, they always paced the lower matches up until the crescendo of either the middle of the show when the main event would happen, or at the end of the show. So yeah, it was part of getting the crowd warmed up. Absolutely.
Room service closes early, brother. Got to get out of here by halftime.
That's right. Not that night.
But before that, I didn't even mention this. Gene Okerlund singing the national anthem. So you spend all this money on celebrities. Couldn't you have Liberace play the national anthem? Why put Gene out there to sing the national anthem? He did a terrible job. It just not so great. What's up with that?
I don't know. Maybe at the last minute, you know, with all the entertainment, somebody said, hey, wait a minute. You know, normally at the Garden, they would just play the national anthem. That could have been a last minute. You know, shouldn't we have somebody sing this?
Could be. It could be that. But I would have thought everything would have been as perfectly lined up. So they just might have said, Gene, you're doing a national anthem tonight. That's all.
Interesting. Ricky Steamboat, Matt Bourne, a forgettable match. How about this one, Bill?
No Ricky Steamboat match is forgettable. Sorry.
Well, I guess I agree with you. And Ricky Steamboat, a friend of VOC Nation. I'm just saying it wasn't Steamboat Savage 87. It was an undercard match.
It was another warm-up match.
But the next match was Bruno Sammartino accompanying David Sammartino to wrestle Brutus Beefcake, led by Johnny Valiant. And a lot of people say that, and I think you might have said it last week, David was the reason that Bruno and Vince had the rift, right?
It's a story that we should save for when we have more time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Getting into let's get the two significant parts of the event, the main events, essentially, you know, Andre the Giant.
When I think back on the first WrestleMania, one of the things that really strikes me, you know, the first, you know, mega pay-per-view, sold out Garden, a million people watching, you know, closed circuit, you know, around the country. If you look at all the matches, the thing that struck me was the number of matches that ended in anything but a clean finish.
Yeah.
The majority of them was something hinky, which
he didn't want to hurt anybody.
But I would have thought, you know, so many people seeing it for the first time, you would have tried to avoid most of that.
And most people were there to see the spectacle more than the matches, except for the main events.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. And I think if you think back, Ken, to even the Saturday night's main events, anytime they put two names together, they really didn't have a lot of clean finishes because they wanted to save those for the house shows, right? Wasn't that the business back then? Don't give it to them on TV. Wait until they have to come pay for it.
Yeah, and I kind of laugh. So many people today kind of criticize so much of the 50-50 booking that there really was a lot of that going on back then. That, right. You know, we don't want to, you know, hey, let's do it this way so nobody really gets beat here.
Well, the difference is just like Vern Gagne. When you did that, you actually morphed into Vern Gagne just now.
Oh, it's God, amazing. Give me a gun.
It's amazing.
The 50-50 booking, the thing that's missing today is the squash match. I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, you had the squash matches to really build up the stars. And I think, you know, you're missing that in some of today's product.
Oh,
you're
absolutely. Not... Absolutely. Yep. But again, it was an event. WrestleMania 1 was an event. It was not a wrestling show. It was, in a lot of ways, the beginning of sports entertainment, but it was an event that you had to be at or you had to see.
And you know what else, Bill and Bruce, it kind of gets lost when people reflect back on WrestleMania 1. Look at how much came out of WrestleMania. I mean, I think that's one of the differences, that even back then when he was putting together WrestleMania, he was already thinking about what could, you know, the storylines they could go forth with for the next 6 months, go to WrestleMania. Like, you know, it was when, you know, Andre beat Stud in that body slam match. I don't think even in the kayfabe era, nobody thought Andre was going to retire from this. But coming out of that, you know, match, they formed Stud and Bundy against Andre, who took Hulk. And that went around on top, you know, throughout the territory.
Yeah, that's right.
And look at, you know, when Orton was outside and accidentally, in quotes, nailed Orndorff. And then from that, Piper took, you know, Orton under his wing, taught him boxing, which led to the match, you know, against Mr. T, where they jumped him, which led to, you know, Mr. T and Piper in the next WrestleMania.
There was nothing hanging. WrestleMania took that whole troop of stars, of wrestling stars, and they moved forward in a line with that thing, and everybody in the world knew who they were.
Yeah. I think that's one of the legitimate criticisms of today that a lot of fans have. It a lot of times appears that stuff is just like thrown together at the last minute. You know, like, I mean, we just had a pay-per-view, and the next pay-per-view in 3 weeks is going to be a rematch of the main event from the pay-per-view we just had 3 weeks ago. You know, there doesn't seem to be the building off it like there was back then.
So Bill, here's something following the event. Pro Wrestling Illustrated awarded the main event, the main event, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and Orndorff, the match of the year in 1985.
No, we did not. The fans did. We had the fans vote.
Okay, so that is there's a Wikipedia error then, because that was my source. So okay, the fans voted.
No, let me back up, because I don't remember. But when we did match of the year, Superstar of the Year, Villain of the Rule Breaker of the Year, etc. We based it on the amount of fan ballots that we got. I don't remember if we did it with that, but we generally knew after a few hundred ballots came in who was going to walk away with these.
All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I want to transition. Take one quick break. We'll come back on the other side. I want to just touch on the PWI rankings and how they were done. We'll tie this in a bow. We'll touch on that, and then that'll lead us into next week where we spend a lot more time. We'll do a whole show next week on the ranking system. So get your questions in. Again, Bruce@VOCNation.com. Tweet us at VOCNation. Follow that. Follow Bill, and you can tweet Bill any questions at @AfterOneWrestling. Ken will get his own Twitter, but for now, the show Twitter is at ResnickAfterVOC. And you listen, Ken, just let him know. And if you want to message him off to the side, find him on Facebook. He doesn't tweet anything controversial. He needs to know that. All right, Wrestling with History. We'll be back in just a few minutes right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter too, at VOC Nation.
VOC Nation Radio Network, Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, Bruce Wirt, Killer Ken Resnick, and Wonderful Willie, the legend maker, Bill Apter.
And we're also a video network.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. So big things. Follow VOC Nation on Twitter, on YouTube, and on your favorite podcast app.
Guys, and a quick disclaimer, it might not be the video network some of you are thinking.
Find Ken in some other videos somewhere else. I don't know. Listen, great show today, guys. And lots of WrestleMania, lots of WWE Peacock talk, and Royal Rumble. So if you tuned in late, you know, you're just kind of skipping through, make sure you go back and listen.
I'm just looking at the first issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated when I was with that company, 1979.
Wow.
And some of the names you were talking about in WrestleMania, I was just looking through the rankings page here.
The PWI rankings. Now, the I want to do a whole
rankings,
show.
Yeah.
I want to do a whole show on the rankings. So I don't think we have time today.
No, I know the guy that put the rankings together through most of the years that he was there. I can get him here next show as a guest.
Are we going to have somebody threaten to kill him?
Isn't it you?
I was under a hood at the time. I was the unknown ranker.
Well, we mentioned that WrestleMania, the PWI, and Bill, I think we'll save all of this for next week. PWI Match of the Year was the main event of WrestleMania. I want to go deep into the rankings, how they happened, how you came up with them, what territories you decided to rank, and, oh, there's the Rolodex.
If you're watching on YouTube. All my contacts that I used to call every week, Ken Resnick.
That's the highlight of my career. I finally made it into Bill Apter's contact list.
Lee Marshall. Paul
on the road.
Heyman, Scott Hudson.
Lee Marshall's on the road with 1-800-COLLECT.
Whoa, he was such a wonderful, wonderful person. But for example, and this just to show you the places that I used to call here, there was the Montreal office and all the names of the people that I contacted to. For the rankings for each issue. So yeah, this is legit stuff, and we can't do this in 5 minutes. We need to save this for next week.
Bill Sassafras, Jim Ross here. I'm going to give you all the rankings for my territory down here at Mid-South. That's a terrible Jim Ross.
It was a terrible Jim Ross, but I did call him every week, and there was a story behind that, too.
All right.
When I couldn't use my Rolodex, I had the official NWA contact books of every office.
Wow.
All the contacts. And every, for example, the even New Japan Pro Wrestling. These are people I called every week.
That's why people have to subscribe.
And it wasn't just for PWI. Remember, we did The Wrestler, Inside Wrestling, Ben Strong, Sports Review. We did them all. So,
and we need a lot more on the differences between the magazines, and I'm sure you got to refocus, Bill.
I've gone out of focus again, gang.
Yeah. All right. That's a good. That's life telling us that
it
we
works,
have to wrap
and I
this
put
week.
Something in front of it.
We want your feedback on. We're going to be developing a Patreon page in the near future, next couple of months. What kind of content would you like to see? There's tons of VOC Nation archives going back to our AM radio days. Bill's never going to get back in focus. Bill's obviously got tons of archives, video and audio, for years and years and years.
Back from the 70s, yeah.
We've talked about, Ken and I have talked about maybe doing some watch-alongs for some classic shows that maybe they're available on YouTube or the WWE Network. There's a lot of things that we can do for Patreon. So give us your ideas. Send them to bruce@vocnation.com or tweet them to any of the ones that I've mentioned. Bill just decided to give up video. Listen, it's time to end the show. Make sure you follow VOC Nation on Twitter, follow After One Wrestling, and
Peacock.
Yes, WWE Network.
One of the Saturday night main events.
And if you're listening, Ken just held up a jacket that he got from NBC back in what day, what year, Ken? 86, 87?
I can't remember when, but I just have the jacket still.
All right. Now, we have to make sure that every week, just like, you know, Bruce Pritchard always says, Vince, in the old days, every show had to end, Hogan must pose. So every show, we have to get the send-off. First, Bill, and then Ken. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, as you, by the way, I have to ask both of you a question. Is wrestling fixed?
I didn't know it was broken.
Thank you. This is Bill After, and we'll see you eventually at the matches.
Well, wrestling may not be broken, but that video feed from Mr. After's home currently is. We'll be back next week with another edition of Wrestling with History with the voice of choice, Bruce Ward, the legend maker, Bill After, and me, Killer Ken Resnick. All I can say is, don't you dare miss it.
Right here is the future of wrestling.